That's where you're at. Okay? But then the Lord says here, verse 32, as he does in many other things, "But I say unto you," this is the way it is, "that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Okay? So this is a passage. We looked at passages in Luke and in Mark chapter 10 that are parallel to this thought, but there's more here in these passages, Matthew 5, Matthew 19, that are in those. And so, as far as the thought and the subject is parallel. As far as there being another passage, there's not another passage parallel with this. The Sermon on the Mount is dealt with in the book of Luke, indeed, but to my knowledge, there's not a reference there in that account of this particular subject. He says here, "Whosoever shall put away his wife." Okay, we know what that means. We've dealt with that. We've seen that. Divorce, putting away. No longer married. The marriage is broken. "Let him give her a writing of divorcement." We've seen about that. That comes right out of Deuteronomy chapter 24. Not just send them on their way and say that's it, but also the need to put a bill of divorcement in their hand. Okay? "But I say unto you," verse number 32, "that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication." Now, these words say, the word "saving for" is talking about, as we would say, except or without. Okay? I'll give you these and I'll read them to you. You can turn there if you want. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 29, the same word is used. Okay? And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Paul there speaking, if my memory serves me correct, he's speaking before Agrippa. And he's saying, and then I think there's Festus and Felix, and then Agrippa comes there to hear the Apostle Paul. They've accused him in Jerusalem. They've loaded him up and taken him over to Caesarea, and they've held him there for some time, a couple years, when it's all said and done. And he says, he said, I wish all of you all were just like me, except having these chains on, except these bonds. Same word, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28, these are the only three uses of this word, okay? In the scriptures, this particular Greek word, "saving for," in our consideration in Matthew 5:32, "except" in 26:29, and then in 2 Corinthians 11:28, "beside those things that are without," there's the word, without, "that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." The apostle's talking about all those, the burdens that he has and the labor that he has. He says, there's all this, there's this that comes from without. We've got our lives here within, and the care of the churches, if you will, as we deal within the faith, okay? Okay? But then there's those things, those things that are outside of that also, okay? And that's the way that word is used. In Matthew 5:32, "But I say unto you," the Lord Jesus says, "that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication," except for fornication. Now, remember our definition of fornication. Fornication is physical intimacy with somebody that you're not married with. The result of children, the things that are reserved, the marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. And the several passages that we considered in dealing with what fornication is from the scripture. And so the Lord, well, you know, what's being said here is, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of immorality, okay, or intimacy with which one with one that they should not be, they should not be with. Okay, so a single person should not be physically intimate with anybody, or it's fornication. One that is married and goes and partakes of those things that are intimately resolved for their spouse, and they go and fornicate with another, not only have they committed fornication, the physical intimacy that's reserved for marriage, but on top of that, they have also been adulterous because they are married. Or if a single person, one that's not married, goes and does so with one that's married, they have committed fornication and they have been adulterous also. Okay? So fornication, as I see it from the scripture, is that the physical act of those things, the doing of those things. Okay? This word fornication here, if we take a look in the Greek, take a look at the definition here. It says harlotry, including adultery and incest, or idolatry. And then, as it is with a lot of dictionaries, it gives the word fornication. Okay, and it is a Greek dictionary. The Greek word is porneia, okay, from which the word pornography comes from. Personally, I see this as the same as uncleanness that is mentioned in Deuteronomy 24. Okay, we saw that there, that in Deuteronomy chapter 24, and if we take a look at the summary there in Deuteronomy, our Lord commands that only because of uncleanness, physical reference to the use of the body, one may divorce their spouse. That's what's given there. There's no qualifiers. So the reference there is that the man looks on at the woman, but applies either way. And that reference of uncleanness is in the physical body. There's something there that has been done that is not right. Only fornication, only intimacy with one to whom they are not married. Okay. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for or except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Now, this word causeth, I've said this before when I preached on it earlier on, and I still see it, that it's the case. We've got a lot of other scriptures that tell us when adultery happens, okay? And adultery, by other passages that we've looked at, and you refer to the summary, happens when they enter into that marriage with a second person. Second person. There's adultery. It's divorce when it's divorce. But when there's a second marriage that's ensued, then there's the committing of adultery. Okay? Here, it says, he says that whosoever shall put away his wife, saying for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. I believe this causeth, what it's talking about is it's a setting her up. It sets her up for such because a woman in the day of our Lord would be forced to marry to be able to live if she has no way to provide for herself. Okay. We have other passages that tell us directly when the adultery happens, and that's in the engagement of the second marriage. And so I don't think our Lord is saying that at the divorce there's a commission of adultery. But the woman sure is, in the gender reference here, the woman sure is in a hard place, especially in that day. Okay? Now, some questions or some thoughts about this. If he is putting her away or divorcing her, the only way he can do so, according to the word of the Lord, Deuteronomy 24, and I believe what our Lord is saying here, I just honestly can see it no other way. If he is putting her away or divorcing her, she has already committed adultery. Okay? Because, see, there's no other reason that he can divorce her. Okay? So she's already guilty of adultery. Well, Brother Jim, the law says that she should die. Well, that the adulterers that were caught, or even well, there are some rules about fornicators, but adulterers that were caught, those that would be caught in adultery by the law given to Israel, would be stoned. But the thing is, that's not going to be the case at hand. A man may yet love her, but her behavior, and again, it's not just limited to the woman behaving this way. The man can behave this way too. The man may yet love her, but her behavior has become so wicked and so adulterous and so whoremongering that it would be bad for the home that remains. Okay? And so so he wouldn't want her to be put to death. I know that I understand that's disobedient to the law if they would be caught. Because remember, the Lord, in the Lord's day, they took the woman, taken in adultery, but they didn't bring the man. But if there were witnesses against both, the law of the Lord still stood. But there would be, as it is with people, there could be all kinds of situations that could come about where the man or the woman wouldn't want to challenge them unto death. They would just want to get them out of the home. So it wouldn't be a detriment to the home, okay? I mean, there can be all kinds of combinations. It may be that the man has come to hate her, but for the sake of their children, he wouldn't publicly condemn her, but put her away. And we think of the occasion about Joseph. Joseph could well have brought Mary to charges, couldn't he? She was pregnant. She had fornicated. She had, you know, that was what it appeared to be. She did not, okay? But it certainly appeared. And in any other case where the Lord would not be involved, it would be that way. That would be telling. Except in that situation. But see, he loved Mary. And he wasn't going to put her away publicly. He was going to put her away privately. And so that shows us that certain situations can be. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause, except for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. I believe that's the setup for it. The tendency is going to be, because she's going to be forced to marry another. And I think this is kind of the first mention about what the Lord is what he says in Malachi. Remember, Malachi ends up the Old Testament. It's kind of the Lord's last word until the New Testament, till the Lord Jesus comes. John the Baptist comes. And the Lord Jesus comes. And I think their treacherous dealings with the wives of their youth is the real argument at hand. Divorce is bad, and it's never been the design. But because of hard-heartedness, some will go out on their spouse. Some will create a bad situation for the home. And the Lord knows that. And Lord help us, and Lord help our church, and Lord help our children, that would never be the case amongst us. But the Lord knows that can happen, and it seems he's made a provision for that. That whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. She's set up for it, because we have many other scriptures that tell us when the adultery happens. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery to boot. Whosoever. Our Lord makes clear how the actions in the first marriage impact the second. Okay? It's not just over. People will say that when they say, it's over. I'm done. I'm filing for divorce. No, it's not over. It ain't ever over. That's bad English. It's not over till we die. Then it's over. But no, it just keeps on going and going and going. Some to lesser degrees, some to greater degrees. If children are involved, then it multiplies it. It compounds it. It's exponential, isn't it? It is. Our Lord makes clear how the actions in the first marriage impact the second marriage. This is to draw great attention to the actions in the first marriage because they cause immediate damage to the second. The second can never, ever be right while the first, you know, talking about the principle and talking about what the Lord, and I know that the Lord has blessed folks to overcome things that were done in ignorance, things that were done before they were saved, and I know that. But we're teaching this from what God gives us in the Scripture, okay? And the Lord makes this point, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. This is to draw great attention to the actions in the first marriage because they cause immediate damage or impact to the potential second. It just doesn't go away. The impact on the second is brought to light to show how bad divorce is in the first place. In the first, it's not over. But it has, as a rule, it has great potential to spread. It's been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. You want to put your wife away? Give her a bill of divorcement. That's what they had come to. I don't like you. I don't like the way you, I don't like your hair color. I don't like that color of your hair, that you dyed your hair. You're out of here. See, that's what they'd come to. I don't like the way you cook. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you've grown old. You're out of here. That's what they'd come to. And I think this next passage is going to tell us about that. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, intimacy with others outside the marriage, that's the only exception, causeth her that he's putting away for burnt scrambled eggs, bad spending habits. So you can name everything else. But this unfaithfulness is the thing that's at hand. Causeth her to commit adultery. Otherwise, she already has, see? If she's gone and been with another, she already has committed adultery. So you see, understand what I'm saying? She's committed adultery, therefore, he may put her away. Now, what's the Lord want? The Lord wants reconciliation. The Lord, by example, is looking for reconciliation with his own nation. The Lord Jesus didn't have a physical wife on this earth, so we don't have any example from him, but we do have what he has here. We do have what God Almighty said. He said, I've given you a bill of divorcement. I've put you away. But we know he's going to be reconciled with her. He's not looking to take up another nation. Even when he said with Moses, back up from these people, I'm going to burn them all up and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Still would have been after Abraham, wouldn't it? His promise would have still been so. But the Lord has never looked for another nation. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery also. And then we come over here to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. My phone is dead, so I have no idea what time it is. All right, Matthew 19, verse number 3. The Pharisees also came unto him. Matthew 19, 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him. And I think this is the key about what they were guilty of and what the Lord was really, really getting down speaking to. Their frivolousness about this thing of putting away. What the Lord said about dealing treacherously with the wife of their youth. See, it doesn't mean that the wives that they were divorcing were young. See, Clarissa, Clarissa and I have been married 25 years. she's not as young, nor am I as young as we were when we were married. But she is the wife of my youth. I married her when I was 24, and 24 looks real, real young now. She's the wife of my youth. That's when our marriage started, is when we were young. And we've been blessed with these years. It's been great. I praise the Lord for her and thankful for the Lord's blessing upon us. But if after all these years, after all the years that those men had their wife, and then the woman... had borne him many children, and he had his quiver full. Or maybe it would be a point that his wife couldn't have any children. Of course, they would always lay it on the woman. It could have been the man, right? We know that. And so then he would seek to deal treacherously. She hadn't been unfaithful, but he just didn't like her anymore. And the Lord says, no. It's wicked, that treacherous dealing with the wife of your youth, part of my covenant, part of my blessing upon you, that you would have wives of the nation, and so there could be a godly seed and a great multiplying, as I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then you deal that way with the wife of your youth. And so here the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? See, there's the key. Every cause, any reason, whatever suits me. What a great thing that a wicked man, a hard-hearted man, could hold over a woman, huh? And see that, and what a terrible relationship that would be, wouldn't it? The continual threat of being put away because your performance just didn't meet up to some standard. That's why I think they'd come to. I think that's what the Lord's speaking to. This passage seems to be in parallel with Mark chapter 10. Okay, there are parallel accounts of the same event. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay, that's how the Lord did it. And indeed it is male and female. In our day, underline that in your Bible. Put a box around it. Male and female. That's the way the Lord designed marriage. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain, two, shall be one flesh. He asked the question. So don't you know that from the beginning? Don't you know that when the Lord makes one flesh out of two, that's what he expects it to be going forward? That's the order, that's the plan, that's the working of God. There's never any other thinking of the Lord other than that. That's the design. Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. And then the Lord Jesus adds this, as we read over in Mark, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He adds this to what was said in Genesis. Just like we read, have seen over in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 verse 9 says, what therefore God have joined together, let not man put asunder. Man's not to be putting marriages asunder. And man's not to be doing things. Women are not to be doing things that would put marriages asunder. Tell you what, work on your marriage. Don't take your marriage for granted. It's the blessing of God upon us, upon you. And we need to work on our marriages and value our marriages. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? See, they don't say all of it, do they? They like having the threat and being able to put the woman away for any reason. How'd they come to the Lord? For any cause? For every cause? There's not more than one cause. Deuteronomy 24 only lists one thing. That's it. They hung on the part that said, found no favor. They really liked that. But they didn't go on to read that it says because of some uncleanness, the uncleanness, a physical thing that they had done in their body with another. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Well, God therefore hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of a divorcement and to put her away, to give her the bill? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. The only reason that there's putting away is because there's hardness of heart somewhere. There's a mean husband that just wants to deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. There's a whorish husband that wants to go and have to do with others that are strange to him, that are not his. It takes a hard heart to do that. And the same thing with the woman. It takes a hard heart. It's because of the hardness of heart. Because of the way that they just willy-nilly would dole out divorce and send their spouses, send their wives away. No seeming accountability. That's the reason for the bill, so it would be set. To put them away and then bring them back. And put them away and bring them back. Use them. No doubt people, mankind being mankind, any kind of combination of thing would be there. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. We take a look at that hardness of your hearts. You know what that Greek word, that's the English, hardness of your hearts. The Greek, you know what it boils down to? Destitution of spiritual perception. Marriages are spiritual. Yeah, even if folks aren't saved, marriages are spiritual. Because God Almighty has ordained it. You don't mess around with marriage. Hardness of heart. Was it because they were so liberal about divorce rather than doing so for the only reason of uncleanness? Divorcing their spouses at will rather than issuing a bill of divorce? There needed to be proof of what they did. They needed to stand up and say that this is what they're going to do, and they give her the bill. Why? Well, they've been unfaithful. That's the only conclusion I see in it. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. The Lord ordained marriage to be two, to be one flesh till death. That's the design. Are we ever saying it's okay for people to divorce? People should never divorce. But as the scripture says, people are going to divorce. It's going to happen. Is that an out? Well, the Lord says, don't go there. The Lord says, always be reconciled, as his example is. He has divorced his wife, but he's going to be reconciled to her. And I know that's a somewhat of a spiritual fair, but we saw it. It's not like there's just one passage that said the Lord's done that. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. He's bringing them back all the way back to the beginning. So you like this and abusing and misusing this one thing of finding this uncleanness, and you've taken that, if you expanded it to everything. Remember, they asked for every cause. And I say unto you, whosoever, verse number 9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and to let you, so you really, really understand what's going on there. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, the one that has been put away, doth commit adultery also. See, if they've been legitimately put away, you marry them. We've got other passages that speak to that. You commit adultery. If they've been illegitimately put away, you marry them. You commit adultery. Because you're bound by the law. As long as you live, period. And we see the same, seeming to me, we see the same as we see in Matthew chapter 5. Now, considering about this and just seeking what the Lord says about it in the scriptures and that, I wanted to try to be exhaustive about it because I wanted to